so that you may prove what is the perfect and good and acceptable will of God. I have to say thank you to Brother Jerry, because generally I call my series, and along with everybody else, we are up to part 5 of spiritual beings having a human experience. And I love talking about that, and I talk about it so much because it helps me to remember who I am and what this journey is all about. Because sometimes, y'all, what made up that oil doesn't always feel very spiritual. But it's the essence of that oil that makes us, that empowers us and strengthens us to be spiritual beings that are becoming more spiritual and more spiritual. How much more spiritual, y'all? 1%. 1%. Not 99.5, not 100. 1%. I say it all the time, y'all, because I have to remind myself too. And before I get ahead of myself, I just kind of want to recap what we've talked about on this journey. And it started out with Julie, Sister Julie. And she was telling us about this series. This series is called Take the L. Take the L. Take the love. So what I took from Julie's message was that we have to be curious and not condemning. Now, I'm just going to make it easy and say, how does that work for me? I apply that to the 4 agreements, 2 and 3. Take nothing personal and make no presumptions. And so we are taking the L whenever we are more curious about what's going on here. We don't want to just jump in and feel like we already know what's happening. And then Josh told us about that Palm Sunday experience and on into the crucifixion, where the folks were screaming. One day they were screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna. And the next thing you know, they were screaming, crucify him, crucify him. And we don't always see the love in the difficulties and hardships that we are going through. And sometimes it takes love for us to be able to get that L. And I'll talk about another L a little bit later. And Resurrection Sunday, y'all. Mm-mm-mm. I am the resurrection and life, says our elder brother. We were left with have a resurrection life. And I thought that was so amazing. And Alpheus and all the people that were here were in a love contest. And I thought that was so amazing that all the babies got up here. And it was like we were at Showtime at House of Judah. And when everybody came up, and everybody shared their gifts and shared their speeches and shared their scriptures, it was beautiful. And everybody got their rounds of applause. And you couldn't say who the winner was. And in the end, very much like Christ, I hope y'all got that message. Everybody is a winner. Sometimes in life, it seems like we are trying to do our best and do better than this person and better than this one. Christ says, everybody is a winner. And I don't know about y'all, but that story, the story of love, was so moving. So, so moving about how this Father it's one of the best stories I've ever seen. If y'all want to see it, it is so wonderful. It is on YouTube, The Story of Love. It is amazing. I watched it and I passed it to friends and family after service. And this father allowed his son to die for the world. And whenever I think about that, and then this, I don't want to be a spoiler alert. I never imagined, I haven't seen a rendition of the love of Christ poured out in a small child. It's usually a grown man, an older man, but a small child. And that was so powerful, riveting, amazing, that when you think about it, no matter how old we get, no matter how young we are children of the Most High God. We're always babies to Him, no matter how old we are. That's my little girl. That's my little boy. That's my baby. 85, 95, 122. So this brings me to our thought for today and our time together. Taking the L, the dichotomy of the cross. Now, what is a dichotomy? A dichotomy is a division or a contrast between two things that are or are represented as being opposed or entirely different or just backwards. Very, very different. For example, people living in Africa in the bush area is very different from Paris, France, but they still have a life. That's a dichotomy. A little more simpler, up and down, that's different. In and out, night, day, dark, light. These are the basic run-of-the-mill dichotomies. But how do we bring that in to what we're talking about today? The dichotomy of the cross. When we think about the love that Christ shed for us, everybody has their own different understanding or concept of Calvary. But how do we imagine a warrior for the kingdom on a donkey? An avenging king redeemer with a legion of angels that nobody can see. No sword. Walking on water in the middle of a sea. A dichotomy is those things that Christ does for us that when you think about it with a logical mind, okay, that's just not normal. Looking out at your accusers, your murderers, the people who are in the middle of taking your life and saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they do. In their minds. So this is what a dichotomy for spiritual beings having a human experience looks like. And taking the L. Now we have the worldly concept of taking the L. But before I get to that part, this is how we're able to better understand the dichotomy. And that happens by true transformation. Now, I've said this before. How does true transformation and renewal happens for us, where we can embrace the dichotomy of the cross. And y'all know one of my favorite, I use this, y'all. We have to unlearn what we have learned. We are accustomed to holding grudges, not necessarily forgiving. Or I'll forgive you, but I'm not going to forget it. My favorite one, Jesus tells us to go to our brothers and sisters, talk to them, resolve your issues, be reconciled. But I remember on several occasions, my grandmama tell me, handle people with a long-handled spoon. So we have different things about, you know, I'm going to get you before you get me, is not the same as do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I'm going to get you before you get me. So the cross helps us to understand these things that are totally against Christ's truth. We have to unlearn what we have learned. Another thing that we have learned that we could do justice by unlearning is, y'all know WWJD? What would Jesus do? I used to really try to figure it out. What would Jesus do? What if we changed it to WDJD? What did Jesus do? Because why are you trying to figure out, well, would he do this, would he do that, when all we have to do is technically go look. What he did was right there. Here's something, the handling people with the long handle spoon. What Jesus said is, cast not your pearls before a swine, and do not give what's holy to the dogs. Who is my mother and my father, my sister and my brother? Those who do the will of the Father. But conforming to this world says, honor your mother and your father so that your days will be long in the earth. But what if we are in situations where we may have to go deeper in scripture because some relationships, sisters, brothers, who are my mother and father, my sister and my brother, those who do the will of the Father, that is against the world. Blood is thicker than water. Jesus's is. And we have to grab a hold of what his blood is telling us to do. Well, I got to do something. You do. Be still and know that God is God. Being still, doing nothing, is doing something. We're so used to moving back and forth and running here and there. Being still is an option. So that means we have to redefine that which we see as the norm. Therefore, taking the L no longer means taking one for the team, taking the loss. Mm-mm. Taking the L means take the love, take the lesson, and take your leave. Repeat this after me. There is no loss in divine love. There is no loss in divine love. Now, whenever we start reprogramming our minds, this is how we may be transformed. For example, taking the love means, I'll be a little transparent, but not much. Being in relationships, I call it the male-female continuum. Things just didn't work right. Still single. Boo, hiss, hiss. But the heart was in it. Thought that was the one. Hot diggity dog. Prayed, prayer answered. Didn't work. That's where taking the L came from for me, y'all. I was like, take the L, Jesus. Yeah, girl, take the L. Ooh, well, that's a hard one. I thought that there was no loss in divine love. Ha ha. He says there is no loss in divine love. So take the love. Have you ever tried and tried and tried and it just didn't work no matter what you do? What happens to hope deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Not necessarily. Pick that raisin up, blow it off, and eat it. That's taking the love. Your love has not gone to nothing because another person wasn't able to reciprocate in a manner that works for you. So you take your love back. And we also have to remember the commandment that Jesus gave us. Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, they don't tell you how to do that with boys and girls. So we think we're in love. Then we start feeling like Whitney Houston. I have nothing, nothing, nothing if I don't have you, 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 you. Oh, it'd be hurting too. I can't live, Mariah Carey, if living is without you. I can't breathe again, breathe again. Tony, breathe again. You have to be careful when you sing that to an asthmatic. You might not. Where's your pump? So what I'm saying, I'm kind of making it light, but on a serious note, we have to redefine the norm. How you gonna love them and then hate them? Took me 50-something odd years to realize love your neighbor as yourself. That's where the lesson comes in. What is God trying to teach me in this situation? What is God trying to show me with my mom, with my sister, my brother? What am I here to see? Take the lesson, the second L. And sometimes, oh, if it was cool, I'd have on some boots. Y'all remember that song? These boots were meant for walking. I'm gonna walk all the way from you. You got to know, you got to make sure you have on your traveling shoes sometimes. That's what the other L is. Take the leave. Because whenever we put love first, which is the first commandment, love empowers us to be more open with our transformed and renewed minds to see something different, different from the norm, different from the world. You got played again? No. Holy Spirit says, this is the best lesson we could ever learn. Thomas Edison, making the light bulb. And Thomas Edison said he did not fail at making the light bulb 900 times. He learned 900 ways to not make the light bulb. So if we don't really know what we're doing and we're reading books and magazines and whatever, blogs or whatever, we're trying to figure out how to function in life, the manual is complex and we don't always go to it. And boy, all you got to do is go and get one of those hard Old Testament scriptures. And there we are in a struggle. Whenever we may want to stay close to what Jesus did, not close to. What did Jesus do? Jesus walked away. When traditionally we've been told to stay. Here's another hard one. Here's another enlightened, awakened view. Think with me, y'all. After the resurrection, when Jesus says, it is finished, right after he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How many times do you guys see Jesus connecting and communicating and going back to the people that killed him? I invite you to go to each of the Gospels, and you will find he never returned to the scribes or the Pharisees. See, we have forgive 70 times 7. That's a lot. But you may want to pull a Father, forgive them, for they know what they do, and have a resurrection forgiveness experience. Resurrectional forgiveness. See, one time we said radical forgiveness, and it's still applying. And I always wondered, what do you do after you forgave somebody 70 times and 77 times, Jesus? Keep on walking, keep on walking. I'm not talking to you anymore. Sometimes I just give it to you the way the Holy Spirit gives me. So they gave me C.C. Peniston. Walk on by, or Dionne Warwick. Okay. Let's just kiss and say goodbye. Goodbye. Resurrection forgiveness will empower you to embrace the love and not turn it to hate. We're talking about transforming our minds, okay? Resurrection will help you see the lesson. I guess I need to pray better, Jesus. Rather than being with somebody, maybe I should ask for a godly husband. That would help. What's the lesson? You need to learn how to walk away. We need to learn how to leave. Because a lot of times a good, strong believer prays, Lord, give me the strength to stay. Lord, give me the strength to leave. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Resurrection, y'all read it. The only place, which is in Matthew, you see the scribes, Pharisees, the chief priests are with the guards after resurrection. And those chief priests were telling the guards, lie. Tell Pilate his followers came and got his body, and we don't know. And that story is still being told today. So Matthew shows you what the Pharisees and the Sadducees were doing. And Jesus had forgave them. And they said, when you get up and we see that you're the Son of God, we'll believe you then. But they didn't. And what did Jesus do? He went to those who were able to accept his message. And then he ascended. He got up out of there for good. And that's why if we are going to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, we do have to let the same mind which be in Christ Jesus be also in us. That's the only way. Not what would Jesus do. What did Jesus do? So I want to give you guys a couple of quotes that I use. And one of them is, divine law and order governs my mind, my life, and my affair with divine love. There's no competition in divine love or divine mind. We don't have to compete. That's why I'm so glad that we had the love contest. There's no competition. We're all victorious. We're all overcomers. So there's no reason for us to compete. Isaiah said, my word will not come back void, but it shall accomplish that where it was sent. Make your words impeccable. If you don't want it to happen, don't say it, not even as a joke. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. This means that whatever man sends out in word or deed will return to him. What he gives, he will receive. That's the be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Thought. What are we thinking? And spiritual development means for us the ability to stand still or to stand aside and let Christ lift our burdens and fight our battles. I have come to the place that I'm no longer a soldier in the army of the Lord. Did y'all ever see Jesus with a sword? What did he tell Peter? Put down your sword, live by the sword, die by the sword. They expect him to come in on an avenging stallion. He came in on a donkey. You don't see Jesus necessarily fighting the way we've been taught to fight, as it were. As a matter of fact, look at somebody and say, I'm going to pull a Jehoshaphat. I'm going to pull a Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat had to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord and remember, the battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. So we have to remember, maybe this isn't our battle. Maybe the battle is our ability to come into alignment, partnership, unity, harmony, peace with God and ourselves so that we will know how to handle the situations in life that come up for us. How can we remember how to do it? How can our minds let the same mind which be in Christ Jesus be in us? Just remember Calvary. It didn't start at Calvary, but I'm telling you the biggest lesson, the biggest dichotomy happened on a hill far away called Calvary. Murder became love. Or should I say murder became mercy. Hate became hope. Evil became everlasting life. So today, I invite you to consider what taking the L looks like for you. And what does having a transformed and renewed mind look like for us? What does having the same mind that was in Christ Jesus look like for us? Take the L, the love, the lesson, and the leave. I think it was fried green tomatoes that helped me along my journey one time. And the lady was passing away, and she was fixed up nicely, and she was ready to ascend. I don't even say die anymore, y'all. I say ascend. We descended into the earth to fulfill our purpose. Now we're ascending to where we came from. Helps me not to hurt so bad. Ascend. So this lady was about to ascend, and she says, a lady always knows when to come and when to leave. We have to know when to leave. What goes in must come out. Take the L, take the love. Please stand with me. Brother Lawrence. If this word has touched you in any way, and you want to take the love, you want to be empowered to learn that lesson, and you want to know how to leave and how to stay, I'm going to go back to my friend Yoda. We have to unlearn that which we have learned. Because sometimes the things that we have learned, maybe it's we're having such a difficult time because it's time for us to learn something different. On the way to church this morning, Mom read the sign, Pendleton established in 1789 or something like that. And I was like, ooh, I'm so glad I wasn't born back then. Can you imagine? We would have to walk. It would be just wilderness, dirt roads, horses. No indoor plumbing, no lights. It was just rough living. Sometimes we may feel like that on our journey. And then I say, ooh, I'm so glad this is a time that we're living in now. We have roads, cars, air conditioning, lights, the internet. So much that helps us along the way. And the same way when we look back over our lives to from where we were then to where we are now, that's how important it is for our minds to be transformed and renewed. And it can look as rustic and primitive as 1789. Could it be time for us to update? Love those updates that come on my phone. Excuse me.
For the update just shows up whether I want it to be there or not.
That's the way our relationship with God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is. We need an update. But it comes from having a transformed mind. What is that mind? The same mind that's in Christ Jesus is in us. And if you will, just close your eyes. Got a lot of dichotomies here. But that's what makes us whole. That's what makes us spiritual being, having this human experience. That is the ultimate dichotomy. And if this word has touched anyone in any way and it has moved you to the point that you either want to rededicate or give your life to Christ, just raise your hand where you stand. You don't have to come out. You don't have to. We're not calling you out or anything like that. And whatever those things are that you felt like you were losing at, family, health, finances, whatever they are, generally try not to call too many things out because that thing, you know, and God knows what it is. Get that thing in your mind. And just give it to Jesus. Lift it up. He says, come unto me, all of you who are weak and weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Just receive this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please receive this, I don't like to say benediction, this time of our going out to take those L's, as we go out into our families, communities, homes to experience the L, to take and give, listen to this prayer of love and sending forth. From darkness and despair, from feeling unloved and lonely, Christ calls out to us. Even though we have been selfish and let God down, He still calls us His beloved. Therefore, remember the eternal love of God, which was poured out for us in Christ Jesus. Our hearts rejoice at the wondrous ways in which Christ loves and forgives us. And we remember that in all our ways, we can trust in God's love, compassion, and grace. And so we take the L. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, God bless you. Amen.